Star Wars geek girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.
Hello, and welcome to Star Wars Geek Girl. I'm Zoe, as usual. Lizzie isn't here with us this week, but I am very, very honored to be joined by Kerwin and Keith of the Father and Son, a Star Wars podcast show.
Hello.
Hi. Welcome to the show. I'm super excited.
Thank you. Thank you. We're excited to be here as well.
I did see you guys got like shouted out by Mark Hamill.
Yes, we did. Yeah.
Today? Was that today or?
Yesterday.
Okay. I saw it today.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It was wonderful. It was wonderful. We were speechless when we found out about it. Yes.
Yeah, that's
Hamill with Skywalker.
Yeah. It's pretty so cool. Crazy.
I still can't get over it.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
I wouldn't be able to be there. Yeah, and today's actually Mark Hamill's birthday. So
yes.
Today we're recording.
Yes.
So happy birthday, Mark Hamill.
Happy birthday, Mark Hamill.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah, so do you guys want to talk a little bit about like what your podcast is, just to introduce that to the listeners and viewers?
Sure. So
go ahead, Keith.
It's a family-friendly podcast for all ages, and basically we'll discuss Star Wars from the past, present, and future. I think we said that in the introduction episode.
Yeah, well, that's good. Exactly. Yeah, but you know, Keith is right. You know, we're here to talk Star Wars, and you know, we talk about look at Star Wars from an adult's perspective, from a child's perspective, you know, so it covers a range, you know. We love talking about Star Wars. You know, that was the reason why we started this podcast in the first place. But that's basically what it is. You know, it's all Star Wars. So we talk about books, we talk about films, we talk about the TV series. We may get into comic books. I'm considering, but not yet. But yes, we try to cover, the entire range of Star Wars.
Yeah, that's awesome. I do want to know, because I feel like everyone always asks a favorite movie question. I want to know what your favorite Star Wars books are.
Star Wars books?
If you have them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my favorite Star Wars book would have to be Adventures in Wild Space.
Yeah.
We have all 7 books.
Oh, okay. He's killing me. He wants me to show you the books that we have. So I'll hold them up as you talk. Or do you want to? Okay, you got it. Okay.
So,
yes.
I'll show you each one.
Yes. Okay. I'll put them in order for you. Okay.
The Escape.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
There.
It's a 7 book series. So.
Exactly. The Nest.
Mm-hmm. Right. The Nest. There you go.
The Heist. The
Heist. Yes.
The Darkness.
The Darkness.
Cold.
There you go.
And The Rescue.
Fantastic. Yes.
All 7.
Yes. And how often have you read these books?
I've read them so many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're my absolute favorite book series.
Yes. Yes. And you've also listened to the audio podcast as well. Audiobooks.
Yep. Mm-hmm. In fact, the library's probably got more circulation on those books than anything else in the world.
I actually read those for the first time just a few months ago, and I really like them.
You read
nice,
them?
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think my favorite of the series is probably The Heist, personally.
Me too.
Really? Yeah. Because it's just all the Rebels references and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Because we got to see Ezra's parents.
Exactly.
That's what makes it click with all the other episodes of Rebels.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just read these books for the first time just a few weeks ago, and they're great. I thought they were wonderful. And my favorite book is book 2, right, with the boat chase. You know, we're actually
that's my third favorite.
Yeah, we're actually doing a podcast where we're discussing all 7 books.
We just did 1 today.
Yeah, and we just recorded part 2 today. So we already have part 1. Part 1 is already available. But yeah, I think they're very well written. They're not dumbed down, you know, for kids. You know, it's a great book for anyone to read.
Yeah, they're not talking down to kids. It's exactly. That way. Let's just make it simple. So, you know, their tiny brains can understand it. Mm-hmm.
And it's very, you know, steep into the Star Wars lore, right? So you get to see characters that you're familiar with and how it ties into the bigger picture, like the Bridger's parents are being introduced in the book. And then Ezra Bridger is one of the main characters in Rebels, you know, and there were some references to Rogue One.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because there's Credic and a K2SO-ish.
Yes.
It's a security droid.
Yes, a droid assimilant that looks like K2SO, right? Right.
So, yeah. Keith, I'm really curious. He mentioned a book and you said that was your third favorite. Do you have a full ranking that you're willing to share?
Okay. So, I think my first favorite would be The Heist, second, The Nest, then The Snare. Then I'm going to have to put The Darkness, The Escape, The Cold, and, well, actually, The Rescue, and then The Cold.
Oh, cool.
Interesting. I haven't gotten a chance this week to watch or listen to too many podcasts, but I definitely do want to watch and see all your thoughts on this series.
We have our first episode out.
Yes.
We did it in two parts.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Yes.
I will have to watch it as soon as I can.
Very cool.
Do you have a favorite book?
Yeah. I would say Lost Stars by Claudia Gray. To be honest with you, I thought the first 50 pages went very slow, but past the 50 pages, it started to pick up because it actually started to reference more of the films, right? So the first 50 pages really start off as, you know, have you heard of Lost Stars?
Yeah, I've read that book as well.
You read that? Okay, well, so, you know, it starts off as, you know, it's a romance, right? You know, between one person who wants to join the Empire, the other person wants to join a rebellion. And they don't know if this relationship is going to work because they're on opposite sides. So I felt the first 50 pages was just preparing us for this couple. Like, are they going to be together? Are they not going to be together? What's going to happen?
So it's like one of those high stakes books.
Well, it doesn't get high stakes yet. You know, again, it does take a little bit of time for it to start rolling. But then when they start getting into, you know, going through the range of storylines taking place in episode 4, you know, where they're there for the Battle of Yavin. You know, they appear at the Battle of Yavin, then they move on to Hoth, and then they go to Endor. So,
seriously?
Yeah. So it's, you know, what you saw in the original trilogy is being seen by, you know, different lenses. So it's somebody else's perspective. So apparently these two characters were actually involved in all these wars. So they were involved in the Battle of Yavin. They were involved in the Battle of Hoth and then Endor. And it actually goes on up until The Force Awakens. Right?
Seriously?
Yeah. And what was interesting about the book, you know, I was just so involved because, you know, I love the movies, obviously. And then any book that references the movies is great. And it's great. You know, I love that. There is the scene in the beginning of The Force Awakens when we first meet Rey. There is a scene of a Star Destroyer that landed on the planet.
Right.
Right. That Star Destroyer is referenced in Lost Stars. That was one of the Star Destroyers that was actually involved in the Battle of Endor and landed on the planet.
Yeah. In fact, the Battle of Jakku was in Lego Star Wars All-Stars.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Freemakers. Yeah. They were there.
Yeah. So that would be my favorite book. It, you know, it started off slow, but it really picked up towards the end. I just like the references of the different films.
Yeah. And that's Claudia Gray, I think, is such an amazing Star Wars writer. Have you read Leia?
I have. I've read Leia. I've also read
book by her.
Yeah, and I would say my second favorite Claudia Gray book is Bloodline.
Yes, that's very good as well.
Bloodline is really good. I like the political story. Mm-hmm. I think two things that Star Wars does best is religion and politics. And that was a very good book in regards to politics. I read the Leia book and I also read Master and Apprentice.
Yeah. Oh, I always forget she wrote that book.
Yes.
They're all so good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I read Master and Apprentice fairly recently, but every time it's totally changed the way I look at Phantom Menace.
Yes, I agree. I agree. Yeah. It's a story about Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan's relationship. Yeah. So it was pretty good. Well done. Yeah. And then Claudia Gray also, you know, is involved in the High Republic. I have Into the Dark. I have not read it yet, but I'm looking forward to reading that book.
Into the Dark is excellent. If have you read Light of the Jedi?
I did read Light of the Jedi. Okay.
So yeah, yep, it ties in very well.
Yes.
I didn't
yes.
read that yet.
Yes. Well, you started reading it, right?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So I read Light of the Jedi and reread Race to Crashpoint Tower.
And then Out of the Shadows. I believe that was Claudia Gray.
Well, Out of the Shadows with Justina Ireland.
Oh.
Right. Yeah. So we read the junior novels as well. So we, you know, we read Race to Crashpoint Tower, we read The Shadows and A Test for Courage. Right. Yeah.
Well,
so
I read that one.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So we're trying to get into the High Republic. And I'm also reading the comic books as well. So it's good. It's actually very interesting. And the artwork is fantastic, you know, in the comic books. And the stories is keeping my attention. So I'm looking forward to more High Republic books.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite High Republic character?
Yes. Who's my favorite High Republic character? I've said it more than once. Do you remember?
Give me a second, I'll get it.
Okay. Venestra?
Oh, yes.
Venestra Rowe. Yeah, Venestra Rowe is
give me a second.
No, that's all right. I mean, you know, we don't want dead air, okay? Yeah. Yes, Venestra Rowe, you know, she's young. She's got a lot to learn, but I like that, yes, that she is young, even though she's a Jedi Knight, and, you know, she's very skilled, but she still has a lot to learn. She's not perfect. And I really liked the way she was portrayed in Out of the Shadows. So I don't want Jedi to be perfect. They, you know, no one's perfect. I don't want the perfect Jedi. I don't want them making the right decisions all the time. I want them to be grayish sometimes, you know, have a balance in the Force, you know, make good decisions sometimes, make not so good decisions. So
you can't have,
yeah,
people aren't perfect.
Exactly.
Unless you're like, I don't know, some perfect superhero or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So if they could keep that balance with Venestra, I think she's going to be a very, very popular. I think she's a popular character already, but I really do like her. You know, but she's she has doubts about how she can train this Padawan who's maybe 2 or 3 years younger than she is. So
it's more of a friendship.
Yeah, it feels more of a friendship rather than apprentice. Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'm sure there'll be more Venestra books. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, she was a character I read. Well, you just said it. The book, the first book that she's in,
A Test of Courage.
Test of Courage, yes. And she was a character that immediately was like, she's super cool. I like her a lot. And for the things you said, she has a nice balance.
Yeah, yeah. And how about the lightsaber that turns into
the light whip? The light whip, and it's purple too.
Pretty cool.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
This is only the second character I've seen with the purple lightsaber. First being Mace Windu.
Yeah, that's a good point.
They're pretty rare. Well, and now we have a third this week in Star Wars Visions.
Yes, we did. Right. The Night Jedi, right? Yeah, we did. Yeah.
I'm curious to know. I haven't gotten a chance to watch. Like I said, I've been busy this week. I haven't gotten a chance to watch your episode about Star Wars Visions.
Sure.
I recommend everyone to go watch it. But what... do you have any thoughts to share on this show about that?
I'm not really an anime fan because I've never really seen it, but this was a great experience for my first time. And, you know, it didn't seem like they were just trying to make another offshoot of a movie. They made it seem like there were new characters, new storylines, new places to explore, new characters to get looks at. And it just branched off from the original Star Wars, which made it even better. Because most Star Wars books usually have references to the originals. This one didn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, I agree. So it's a nine episodes anthology series. And, you know, knowing about how George Lucas was influenced by, you know, a Japanese filmmaker named Akira Kurosawa.
They're going back to their roots.
Yeah, they're, you know, Star Wars is going back to its roots, you know. So it's just nice to see how the Japanese anime and Star Wars blend together. You know, it's just a pretty good combination.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty cool. And the stories range, you know. So, you know, it's, again, 9 episodes by, what, 6 different animation studios or 7?
7.
Animation studios. But, you know, some stories, you know, you might like better than others, but I think it's still a wonderful series. And, you know, we're just very fortunate to watch all the episodes, and I, you know, we watched them more than once. actually. Yep. Yeah. So I really like where Star Wars is going with this, and I hope there'll be a season two.
Me too.
I like to ask everyone what was your favorite episodes of Visions?
TOB1, hands down.
Yeah.
He reminds me of me.
Now, have you seen the episode? Did you say you saw
them?
You have.
Yeah, okay, so I watched them. I had to watch them over the course of a couple of days, but I did watch them all.
Right. So TOB1, right? So the story is about.
Yeah, he's like kind of a baby robot.
Uh huh.
And you know he likes to explore. He wants to be a Jedi. He's adventurous, like me.
That's right. And, you know, it's more of a parent-child relationship, right?
Yeah, with his master,
right,
or professor.
Right. And we talked about how, as a parent, you know, you want to protect your child, right? So exactly. He's been telling, you know, TOB1, you know, it's a very dangerous world out there. I want you to stay here. You know, the Joy wants to become a Jedi. He has dreams of becoming a Jedi. And, you know, he's not like, okay, well, don't do it. I want you to become a Jedi.
Not trying to crush him. Just say, be wary.
Exactly. And giving him guidance. I think that's the most important thing. Rather than telling him what to do and how to do things, just say, okay, well, if you want to be a Jedi, well, then you have to find your own Kyber crystal. Or, you know, once you find a Kyber crystal, then you have to understand the Force. How does the Force work?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So it really brought me back to the original Star Wars movie, you know, when Ben Kenobi and Luke meet for the first time, you know, that fatherly figure and Luke trying to understand how the Force works, what is the Force, and picking up his father's, well, he didn't know his father's lightsaber at the time, but picking up Anakin Skywalker's lightsaber at the time and, you know, knowing how to use it or learning how to use the Force. So, you know, it's a very good relationship. You know, from a parent's perspective, that's what I got out of that episode, is that you know, that fatherly love that you give to your child, and you want your child to succeed and be the best that they can be, but you don't want to run their life for them, right?
You just want to cut them off.
Exactly. You just want to give them enough advice so that you hope they make the right decisions for you, you know, for themselves.
Yeah, that episode, I loved it. The animation style too. That one really struck me. I was like, this is adorable.
Yeah.
The robot's kind of cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a good word for it, adorable. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. That was a very good episode. There were no, to me at least, no like bad episodes. Like there wasn't a single one that I didn't like. Karen, is your favorite also TOB1, or do you have a different one?
I have another favorite. Actually, it was a very tight race for number one. So, but it's The Duel. It's the first episode. Because that story about this wanderer who comes into town and has this confrontation with a villain, then leaves town and impacts the lives of the people of the town, is a story that's been told over and over and over again. You know, you've seen it in the Kurosawa films, and you also see it in the Italian Westerns by Sergio Leone with The Man with No Name. You see that same storyline in The Mandalorian. I think there was a storyline in Rebels as well. Yeah, either Rebels or the Clone Wars. But the idea is, yeah, I do recall something like that with Saw Gerrera was a part of it. But the point is, that story has been told over and over again. I never get tired of seeing it. You know, like, why is this person coming into town? Who is this person? What are they looking for? You know, what's the conflict? Are they going to make it out? And usually, you know, it does turn out that this wanderer is the, you know, victorious one and leaves. And how does that change the lives of the people in the village or in the town? So I love that storyline. And I'm glad that Ronin, you know, they're going to have a book coming out, a novel coming out about Ronin. So we'll know some more information about that character around November, I think, when the book comes out.
Yeah. It's very
And I would say my close second is The Ninth Jedi.
Yeah.
I've said that I feel that, you know, if you're going to take any nine of those episodes and make them into a film or a TV series, it would be that, because I felt it was the most cinematic. It really had what Star Wars was about, you know, the lightsaber and bringing the Jedi back together and reintroducing the lightsaber, having the swordsmith create the sabers, and, you know, depending on who picks up the sword, you know, and the color of the saber, you know, the when they ignite the saber, you could tell what connection they have with the Force, whether it's a strong connection or if there's something that they need to work on. But I love the story. I love the story about Kara and her trying to deliver the sabers to the Jedi Temple. And, you know, she's being chased by, you know, a villain, a Sith Lord, and there's a speeder bike chase. I'm a big fan of speeder bike chase. You know, give me a speeder bike any day, anytime. So I loved it. The animation was wonderful and the music sounded like it was an orchestral score. It sounded like something that John Williams would compose. So I really enjoyed that episode as well. So that's a close second.
Yeah, and I think the Ninth Jedi is a very popular favorite as well as the duel. For me, it was a very close race between the Ninth Jedi and the Village Bride. And I think the Village Bride just slightly won out just because I loved F so much.
Yes, the Village Bride. I really enjoyed that episode as well. Yeah, I love that story too. I would say that's my third favorite. And one of the things that we were, when we were doing our review, is we were trying to figure out the purpose of the character F. We were trying to figure out why she was wearing the mask at the beginning of the episode and then decided to remove the mask when she was ready to reveal herself as a Jedi. Because if you think about it, is pretty much the opposite of what you see in superhero films, you know, the superheroes that we, American superheroes that we know of today, right? So when there's a conflict or there's a crime being committed or something happens, the mask comes on. But in this case, in this episode, when she's ready to face this conflict or there's a, you know, a confrontation, she takes the mask off. So it's completely the opposite. So I just found that very interesting. I don't know if that was something that you picked up on, but do you have an idea, you think, of why, what the symbolism was for wearing that mask?
So my personal like interpretation of it was she was obviously very like hiding from herself and who she is as a Jedi and a little fearful. And her mask was more of like her own self-protection, her way of kind of being able to hide herself and mask who she is essentially. And then when she's ready to face this conflict to save these people and proclaim herself as a Jedi is when she takes the mask off, because then she's really unveiling her true self.
So like basically she's running from her past and then she just basically has to accept it.
Essentially, yes.
That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, we were thinking the same thing that, you know, I thought maybe she wore the mask because, you know, she might have had some type of falling out with her master, you know, that, you know, she had the master apprentice relationship and things didn't go well. Maybe she was, you know, didn't live up to her master's expectations. So she wore the mask in shame and she would keep the mask on until she was ready to have, you know, gain the confidence and the strength to say, now I'm ready to be a Jedi Knight. Because, you know, if you remember, you know, not only did the mask come off, but she had a ponytail,
yeah,
right?
And, you know, in
Star Wars lore, the ponytail represents an apprentice.
Yeah, right? Or usually if, you know, you don't grow hair,
right,
then you get beads.
You have beads. And then once you have elevated to that next level, the Jedi Knight, the beads come off or the ponytail's cut off. So she cut off a ponytail and she took off the mask. So like you say, I agree with you. I think, you know, once she felt that she was ready to be that Jedi Knight and take on that role of a Jedi Knight, that's when the mask comes off and, you know, she takes care of business, as we know.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and we also see she has a scar underneath the mask. And I think, you know, like you said, something with, you know, maybe something happened with her master. Maybe we know her master, or we can assume her master died. And so maybe in that conflict, it was something similar to like Depa and Caleb, or like Cal and I can't remember his master's name, where they escaped and she got that scar in the escape and was hiding it.
Interesting. You know, I didn't notice that she had a scar. Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. I didn't notice. I didn't pick up on that, but that's a good point. You're right. Yeah. Yeah. Or you said something about Ventress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What happened with Ventress?
Her too.
Yes.
You know, Master will make it.
Yeah. Well, tell the story. Go ahead. You brought it up. I thought you wanted
to. Yeah, you could tell it.
No.
Okay. All right. That's
okay.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on the scar. Yeah, but that's pretty interesting.
It's a little subtle, but it's there.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So there had to have been some type of confrontation that happened prior to, and maybe that's the reason why she wore the mask to cover the scar, you know. But then when she was ready to face what happened in the past and let go of the past, she's like, okay, well, the scar is there. I know why it's there, but I don't need to hide the scar anymore. And I take it off and I'm a full-fledged Jedi Knight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that episode. It also gives me a very great COVID safe Halloween costume.
Yeah, there you go.
Actually, so,
that's,
right.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's true. Right. That's that would be a cool, I wouldn't be surprised if we had so many people wearing the F costume. I think that would be pretty
celebration. Cool. I think there will be quite a few costumes from Visions, and I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I Visions is very exciting for Star Wars. I'm glad, you know, they decided to go this route. You know, like Keith said, I'm not into anime either, but I am now, you know.
Yeah.
Episodes.
And I think for one thing I just thought was exciting was it's bringing Star Wars to a new audience, because I know some people who maybe aren't into Star Wars, but they are into anime. And I can be like, look, here's a Star Wars anime. You should try it out and see what you think.
So they're mixing genres and mixing audiences too.
Right.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point.
Yeah, I'm really happy to have you guys here. I do want to know what... out of all of the things in the world, what brought you guys to Star Wars?
Ooh, that's a good question. What brought me to Star Wars? Okay. Do you want me to start or you?
I'll start.
Okay. What brought you to Star Wars?
My dad. Mm-hmm. Once again, my dad.
Okay.
Because he got me the Golden Books. I still have all six of them. And then we got The Force Awakens. We still haven't gotten The Last Jedi or The Rise of Skywalker, though. It might be nice to complete the collection. And then, you know, give it to my kids and stuff.
It's a nice idea. Yeah. Right.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I was about 4 when he bought them home for like Barnes and Nobles. Yeah. And ever since, I've loved Star Wars.
Yeah. 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 I was in a bookstore and I saw that they had the little golden books of the first 6 films. And I bought it. I said, this is cool, you know, and I went to my wife, Tanya, and I said, well, Tanya, do you think Keith would be into these books? And she said, well, let's find out. And I gave him the books and he loved them. He, like he says, he still has them to this day. And once he read through all the books, he said to me, Daddy, I want to watch the movies. So the first movie we saw together was A New Hope. And then we watched them, you know, in order of release. We watched the original trilogy, then the prequel.
And then the sequels.
And the sequels, yeah. The only one movie he has not seen is Revenge of the Sith because it's a little too intense. But
maybe see it when I'm 10.
Sure. Whenever you're ready, we'll watch it together. And then what was also nice, too, after we watched the films, you know, Keith was so into Star Wars and the characters, we actually created a chart because he picked up on the names of the characters, right? And we wanted to, you know, I wanted to see if he knew the difference between a hero and a villain. So I had a whiteboard and I created a chart and I just, you know, drew a line down the middle and I put heroes on one side, villains on the other side. I said, okay, Keith, now just name all the heroes that you remember from Star Wars. And he just started naming names and we started writing them down. And I said, Keith, okay, name all the villains. And he was just naming them. And he's 4 years old, maybe 5, and he's naming them, you know, perfectly. So he knew the difference between, you know, who, you know, what it means to be good, what it means to be bad, hero versus villain. So that was, I was pretty impressed by that.
And plus the Legos. I always got Lego sets, especially Carbon Freeze Chamber,
yes.
Darth Vader's Castle, Captain Rex's Atty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a lot of Star Wars. You know, it started with the books, then the films, and then it led to Legos.
And then I learned Roman numerals.
That was pretty fun too, you know, because, you know, every movie starts with a Roman numeral.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, the Star Wars, the saga, Skywalker saga does, yeah. Yeah, so that's how we taught him Roman numerals. Pretty cool. Yeah. For me, the first film I saw was The Empire Strikes Back when I was 12. And it was great. You know, I might not have quite understood. Not, I wouldn't say I wouldn't understand it, but, you know, the twist at the end about, you know, Luke and Vader, I didn't believe it. I thought, you know, Vader was actually just trying to trap Luke and pretend, you know, just to get inside Luke's head. So, you know, I didn't really think it was true, but I thought it was a great story and I loved it. And the year after that, A New Hope was re-released. So I went to see A New Hope. Right. So it was Empire Strikes Back, then A New Hope. And then that just got me hyped for Return of the Jedi. And, you know, at that time, you know, back in the day, we had a magazine called Starlog Magazine. It's like Entertainment Weekly for science fiction, fantasy fans, you know, and they, you know, gave you articles about the film, what's up and coming, what you could expect. They couldn't give away too much. You know, they had secrets back then as well.
Why wouldn't they? Everybody's got secrets.
Well, that's true, right? You know, they don't want to spoil it for anybody. So, but, you know, it's funny. Some of the things that, you know, if I go back and read it today and what some of the predictions that they had that they thought was going to take place in a movie, that didn't happen, you know, but it was interesting. So that, you know, with the TV and radio, you know, hearing the previews of the films, that got me hyped for Return of the Jedi. And I went to see Return of the Jedi with two of my buddies. You know, we're still best friends to this day. And we had a blast. It was like I saw the movie for the first time yesterday. You know, it was wonderful. I remember going to, you know, in Manhattan, I was living in Brooklyn at the time. The three of us took a train to Manhattan and we went to the box office, we bought our tickets, and then we had to wait on a line for 2 hours before we can even get into the theater. But when once we got in there, you know, we picked the perfect theater because this theater in Manhattan had surround sound at the time. It had that large screen so you could hear the sound effects and the music, and it was lovely. And again, we had a wonderful experience. So I've been a Star Wars fan since I was a teenager. Yeah. And then it kind of, you know, leveled off a little bit because there wasn't any movies in the late 80s, you know, until the prequels came out in late 1999. But yeah, it didn't pick up for me until this little guy came along, you know, where that rekindling of, you know, that Star Wars love came back. And I didn't really have too many people to talk Star Wars with throughout my lifetime, other than the two friends I mentioned. But then when Keith came along, you know, that's all we talk about, you know. So I'm, you know, and it wasn't a requirement that he would enjoy Star Wars. You know, he could have read the little golden books and said, you know, this is not for me, you know, and I would have been fine with that. But the fact that he is, and it just helps with our bonding as a father and son, that, you know, we could talk Star Wars and we could talk all day long, every day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you know. So it's really cool.
We have.
And we have, yes. True story.
I believe it.
Yeah.
What made you decide to start a podcast about Star Wars?
Yeah. Well, yeah, because we love to talk about Star Wars. We were at the dinner table one day and we were talking about The Mandalorian, right? And, you know, the day after the episode airs, you know, we're sitting down and we're talking about what we saw. And my wife had the brilliant idea of recording us at the dinner table. And she played it back for me and said, look at this, you know, listen to this. And, you know, we're having this deep conversation about The Mandalorian. And then she says, you guys should do a podcast. And I said, well, I don't know. I like listening to other people's podcasts. I don't want to do a podcast. And then she uploaded that video to Facebook and we got some good feedback from it. And then she came back to me again and said, you should do a podcast. And I said, no, I don't think that's a good idea. So Tanya, you know, as brilliant as she is, said, okay, well, you're going to do a podcast anyway. Cause you know, she went and got our equipment and she bought the microphones and I came home one day, everything was all set up and ready to go. And I said, okay, well, I guess we're doing a podcast now. So that's why we're here. So we just love talking about Star Wars. So, yeah. And, you know, and another important thing about the podcast was, you know, what happened last year with the pandemic. You know, it was really tough for everybody, you know, for us especially, because, you know, Keith and I have a younger son, Maceo, who were both virtual learning and they didn't like it at all. It was just terrible. The grades started to slip, you know. You know, Keith doesn't like to talk about it, but you know, that last year was just not good for
you
him.
You do bring this up every time.
I know, but this is a very important story to tell. Well, this is the reason why this podcast exists today, because I wanted something to encourage Keith, you know, and say, okay, well, I know you got to have virtual learning. You still got to get through school. But if we could do a podcast on the weekend and talk about Star Wars to people, that would be fun. You know, so that's right. Exactly. So that's the other reason why, you know, we're doing this podcast, because, you know, we needed some hope, you know, and Star Wars gives us that, you know, so, yeah.
That's I love that story. That's amazing. Keith, when you first heard about like maybe doing a podcast, what were your thoughts?
I wasn't excited. I was just like, really? And it took us at least 2 weeks to actually post our first episode because we started shooting in February.
Okay.
Like we did our first takes in February, but we finally got our first episode posted in March.
Yeah, well, we did a lot of planning and preparation, you know, but we wanted to, the first episode had to be an introduction, right? We needed to tell people who we are, why we love Star Wars and how we got into Star Wars. So that was the first episode. And then we actually had a plan as to what we wanted to talk about, right? So we're going to talk about.
We still got a list.
Yeah, we're going to talk about character studies. This was March, right? And I think we knew at the time that the Bad Batch was coming out in May. So that we would do the Bad Batch, you know, whatever, however many number of episodes of the Bad Batch we would do. We would do character studies, you know, we would talk about, you know, the rise and fall and the rise of Anakin Skywalker. So, you know, we really had an idea of what we wanted to discuss, and we still do. You know, we still have plans for doing more character studies and, you know, doing more book reviews, which we think are fun. And we're looking forward to the Book of Boba Fett in December.
Yep.
Yeah.
What would you say is like one thing you really want to see most in Book of Boba Fett, since you brought it up?
Good question. I really want to know how he got out of that Sarlacc pit. They need to explain that, because, and
maybe some flashbacks.
I think that's what this is going to be about. I think we're going to see a lot of flashbacks, and I think it's going to start with that, because that's the question that's on people's mind.
It is how, called the Book of Boba Fett, exactly. Not Boba Fett Chronicles.
Well, right. Or
Boba Fett after Return of the Jedi.
To me, if it's a book, you know, the book is going to have chapters, right? So it's going to start with chapter one. Chapter one is going to have to be, okay, how did you get out of the Sarlacc pit, right?
Yeah.
And then after you got out of the Sarlacc pit, you know, did you have, you know, how much recovery did you have, you know, as far as your scars, you know, or whatever else, you know, physically and mentally, you know, what did you suffer, you know, trying to get out of that pit? And then third, who are you going after? Who do you blame for putting you in that pit? You know, so yeah, so you know who, you know, he's going to go after some people. You know, he's going to get his revenge. So that's what I want to see. Anything else you think you want to see? Yeah,
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But it starts there. I think it starts, you know, we need an explanation as to how he got out of the pit.
I'm going to call the title right now. Chapter one, The Pit.
There you go. That's it. Chapter one, The Pit. Bring it on. Yeah.
I'm assuming every episode is going to start with Z, like the Mandalorian did.
That's a good point. They could do that. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. And we don't know how many episodes they're going to be. But
I'm assuming eight.
Yeah.
That's how many episodes are in everything now.
That's true. There are eight episodes in both seasons of The Mandalorian.
Although Bad Batch had 16, but maybe it's different for...
That's true. Bad Batch was 16.
Live action. We'll see what...
Mandalorian was 16 total.
True. Right. Two seasons. Yeah.
And there were 9 in WandaVision, 9 in What If.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There were 6 of those other shows, though. The Falcon and the Winter Soldier and Loki.
Yeah. It varies. We don't know. We'll find out.
Exactly.
Are you guys Marvel fans too?
Yep, kind of.
Kind of.
We've seen every What If episode so far.
Yeah, we're into Marvel as well. Yeah, yeah.
And I've seen every movie except for Doctor Strange, Captain America, the Winter Soldier, and
Black Panther.
Yes, Black Panther. Mm-hmm. And Captain Marvel.
Oh, I thought you saw Captain Marvel.
No, somebody went under my Disney Plus account and watched it.
Hey, why are you looking at me?
I'm looking at Mommy.
Oh, okay.
Oh, but you're liking What If?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, it's a little dark, but it's
That's
hilarious.
Yeah, well, because like the last episode, I feel like was pretty light with like Thor having a party.
Yeah, it was just joking.
Oh, so much fun, but then like the other episodes, like zombies, so dark.
Yeah, yes. And then the one with Hank Pym getting mad at everybody,
yes,
trying to stop the Avengers
and taking out the Avengers. Yeah, that was pretty. I wasn't expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah, and then the fourth one with Doctor Strange going crazy, absorbing all these creatures.
Yeah.
Spoilers if you haven't seen them.
Yes,
that's and right. And then episode six. What was six? Give me a second. Don't tell me.
Killmonger, right? Oh, you said don't tell you. Okay. Yes. When I do that, you know, like he wants,
or Mommy.
He wants like 5 to 10 seconds of silence. Mm. So he could come up with the answer. Okay.
But yes, it was Killmonger.
Yes.
It's in the name, what happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The first two were pretty good, though.
Mm-hmm.
Captain Carter was pretty light. So it was a T'Challa one.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, how did this get to Marvel?
You did. You changed the subject.
We can
wrap it up. We did go see Shang-Chi last week, right?
Oh yes, yeah, Shang-Chi.
Yes.
That was a good movie.
Yeah, and that was really cool. That you said one of your favorite films.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's my second favorite.
Second favorite. Okay. There you go. So we're Star Wars fans and Marvel fans.
We're Disney fans to be.
We're Disney fans, yes.
Disney fans, yep, that works. Yep. I'm trying to think. Star Wars is so expansive, and so it's so much fun to cover it all. Can be a lot. I thought it was earlier, and then I forgot to say it. Lena Graff from Avengers in Wild Space is in some of the Vader's Castle comics, if you haven't.
I know.
Let's pick this up. You have? Yeah, have you read them?
But I know she's in them.
Is this a recent comic or is it?
They're
18.
They're a little bit older, I think.
Oh, well, we can get those on the Marvel, right? Marvel
Unlimited.
Yeah, Marvel Unlimited. We can look.
I think they're the IDW.
Oh, they're IDW. So we'd have to go to Comicology to get them. Okay, all right, that's fine. Well, thank you for that.
I haven't read them yet, but I did just pick up the a book of them at Amalgam Comics in North Philly. If you
yes,
we just went there today.
Yeah,
today. Yes. I was thinking about going there today, and then I did it.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
I should have gone.
Such a cool store, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it up there.
Yeah. How often do you go?
I haven't gone in a while just because I was out of Philly because I was at home because COVID and everything, and then I've just been busy. But the weekend before, I think I went up there and picked up a few things.
Yeah. That's like I said, I've been, I may talk about the comics on our podcast, but I've been catching up on the crossover, Star Wars crossover, War of the Bounty Hunters. I'm falling behind on the comics, so I really can't tell you my thoughts about it as of yet. But what I'm behind. Yeah, and the crossover ends in October, so I'll just wait until the end of October. I'll have all the comic books. I'll probably binge read them, and then take some notes. And then I got something here, a story that we can, a review that we can do. We'll do that, but we'll see. We'll see. All right. Yeah. So that's why I've been, because you have a comic coming out every week, with this crossover, like there's a lot of comics. So we've been there, ever since they opened up, to let people back in, we've been going there, pretty much, maybe twice a month since July. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. It's nice that this is a local comic shop, Ariel is the owner. She's a wonderful person. I've heard her story about how she even came up with the
idea. It's on a comic board.
Yeah, how she came up with the idea of creating a comic book shop. You know, she's the first African-American woman to own a comic book store, which I applaud her. So I want to make sure that, I give her give her business, right? You know, to, go to her shop and, buy the books from there so that, it keeps her business intact. Wouldn't like the idea if Amalgam had to close because she wasn't getting the business, that the store deserves. So I want to make sure that I gave to that shop and keep them going, be a part of it,
Right.
Contribute to just keeping them going, keeping them alive.
Yeah, it's amazing. So we're very, very nice in there, like clean, well laid out.
Yeah.
I will say to like viewers, if you're like ever in Philly, just visiting, definitely worth a drop by up there. It's exactly. Like a 40-minute walk from my dorm, and I'll take the trip sometimes.
Really? So you will walk there?
Yeah, it's because
Yeah.
Because there's a SEPTA train station.
Yeah.
Near there, but it doesn't connect to the one on my campus, so I'd have to take the one on my campus, go to City Hall SEPTA, and then take it all the way back. And so
right, so
you might as well walk.
Yeah, so you take the sub, the orange line, right, to City Hall, and then catch the L.
Yeah.
Take it to Frankfurt.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work, but yeah, you're right. Yeah.
But it's definitely worth the trip, I think.
Yes. Yeah, we always have fun. I mean, the four of us go, and it's nice to just be in there. You know, I it's a really good shop. I love that shop.
Well, I don't really have any more questions. Is there anything you guys want to share?
Anything else you want to share?
Nope.
No.
Wait, yeah. I think we've got something.
Okay. All right. Well, what year are you in, by the way?
I'm a junior. I'm actually graduating a semester early, so I'll be graduating next fall.
Congratulations. Wow.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay. And as a film student, never been a film student, and I don't know too many film students. So how does that work? So have you actually created your own film as of yet, or produced a film, directed a film?
Yeah, it's I would have by now, but like COVID and going home and everything definitely took things off the rails. So I haven't like written, directed my own film, but I've worked on other students' films. I work for, if you not sure how long Temple Smash has been running, so I'm not sure if it was running when you were there, but there's Temple Smash, which is Temple's like comedy show. I worked with them my freshman year, and then I recently produced a sketch for them that will be coming out in October.
Nice.
I do stop motion.
Yeah, I was gonna say okay,
you mentioned that earlier. I didn't mean to ask about that. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, in fact, I'm doing some right now. It's like 1 minute 30 seconds long so far. I can't say that much about it, though.
That's a lot for a stop motion. So I definitely applaud you for that. I don't quite have the patience.
And I've got a nearly 5 minute one.
Wow.
Called Spider-Man at the Prideful 4.
Wow. Okay.
Like claymation? Or you've mentioned Legos. Is it Legos?
Yes. It's all Legos. I don't really have clay.
No, it's Legos. You know, you have Lego figures and that you move. And,
yeah, I used to have putty, but...
Yeah. Well, yeah, not that kind of
the bottom of the trash can. Okay.
Yeah. Claymation. I don't know if you know much about claymation, right?
I do.
Have you seen? Yeah, okay.
Ed Boon does it.
Who?
Ed Boon.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, you know, he actually did this video called Jazz for Your Soul, and it's claymation.
Oh, okay. All right. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very exciting. I have had to do claymation projects, not claymation, stop motion.
Yeah.
Projects before, and I definitely applaud anyone who does those, because they are a lot of work, even for just a very short one.
Yeah, you have to constantly be taking still photos of the characters moving.
Yeah.
Although really, your best bet is Stop Motion Studio Pro.
Okay.
And then you should get iMovie. Those are the two softwares I use the most. iMovie for editing and Stop Motion Studio to actually take the photos.
And that's what we actually use to
edit the podcast.
Our podcast episodes. Yeah, iMovie. Yeah. Yeah. So he's really good. And he took this course to learn editing and software editing last year, right?
Yeah.
An online course. Yeah.
And now I can do
yeah.
a whole lot.
This is a skill, you know?
That's a very, very valuable skill.
Yeah, 10, 20 years from now, you could get paid to do this, you know? Get paid more than what you're getting paid.
I already am
now.
Getting paid.
Is a very great film program, especially for editing, if that's the path you decide to take.
Well, there you go, you know?
Woohoo!
I like your thinking, Zoe, you know? I could see Keith in your shoes 10 years from now, you know?
Yeah,
why not? Or if you're looking for an apprentice, you know?
Yeah, I think it's not my personal focus, but maybe I do like it.
Never know. You never know. That's great. And, you know, I want to mention to you that I've actually, you know, I saw your Star Wars video, you know?
Oh, our Star Wars stories.
Yes, our Star Wars story. I was just very moved by it, you know? Oh. It was a wonderful story. So I'm wondering, you know, how did you get into Star Wars? Although, you know, you mentioned it in the video, but, you know, just tell us, you know, how did you get into Star Wars?
Yeah. Mine is actually pretty similar to Keith because I was through my dad. Mm-hmm. It wasn't the books. I went straight to the movies very young. I don't quite remember them. My dad did not make the choice to hold out on the Revenge of the Sith. I watched that right as a kid. Uh-huh. Maybe not the best idea, but... but yeah, it wasn't like, I don't really remember, like, this is the day I got into Star Wars. It's just something that was always a part of my life. And so even as a kid, again, like Keith, I was reading all the little books, you know, with kids' books, and then like the big like encyclopedias they make. I remember I had
those.
If you've ever seen, have you ever seen the Star Wars fan decks?
Like, no, never heard of it.
It's a really interesting little, I think it's called a Fandex. It's called Fandex. Something. But it's basically like, I don't know how to describe it now. There's like little cards and they fan out with like shapes of all the characters' heads. And that mine was mostly the prequel, so it had like all the prequel Jedi stuff. So I would just look at that all the time and learn like Plo Koon, Aayla Secura, all these Jedi smaller roles.
Okay.
And then the Clone Wars movie came out when I was seven, I think seven.
2008.
Yes, so yeah, I was seven. And I just loved that. And obviously
I've seen like every episode of the Clone Wars series.
Okay, but
it's a very good series. And then also, you know, I do like the costuming part of it, which I got into when I was six. My dad first put the Jawa costume on me and I started trooping with the 501st and everyone like that. That's why because I'm Cassian Andor in Rogue One, he says, I've been in this fight since I was 6 years old. I'm like, me too, Cassian.
Pretty nice. Nice.
Yeah, that's the gist of it. Just very, very young. Again, my dad pulling the whole family into it.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah. Sounds very similar to our story. Yeah. And what about podcasting? How did you decide to get into podcasting? Or why did you decide to get into podcasting?
So my dad, he started when I was in like middle school, started listening to the Star Wars podcast. He first found them. This was 2013, 2014. So that's when podcasts, I feel like, really started to get more popular. So he picked up Star Wars podcast, and I would just, like you guys, just talk about Star Wars all day long. My dad was like, hey, you should start a podcast. Like, these guys all talk about Star Wars all the time. You could do that too. And I had a very similar reaction. I was like, nah, I don't know. I don't really want to do a podcast. But one day he just really made me sit down and was like, just talk about Star Wars in the microphone. It was just me. I talked about Ahsoka. She's my favorite character.
Mine too.
Yeah, Ahsoka fans. And it was that. And then a few episodes in, I was doing the Sabine costume at the time. And we got Lizzie, who she and her family were the first Star Wars Rebels costumes. She was the first, well, technically her mom was the first Sabine, but they switched Sabine and Hera because they realized like maybe the parents should do Kanan and Sabine and the kids do, you know, Hera and Ezra. So they switched those. And so she was like basically the first Sabine, and I had her on the show as like a guest, but we just got along so well. She just became the co-host and permanent fixture.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. This is very nice.
Yeah, this is so fun.
It's finally nice to meet you. You know, I've been talking to your dad prior to getting together, and he just seems like, you know, he seems a lot like me. yeah, and you know, he could tell that he has a passion for Star Wars and a passion, yeah, a love for his family. And you know, we connected, you know, when, you know, he reached out to me because he knows Mark Daniel, or he's met Mark Daniel. Mark Daniel was one of our guests on our podcast, who works, yep, for Disney, and he must have saw a post maybe on Facebook, and he reached out to me and said, well, hey, you know, my daughter does a podcast as well. And I said, oh, great. Well, where does she go to school? And he says, Temple. I said, oh man, Temple. I know about Temple, you know? So it just took off from there. So please thank your dad for, you know, helping us connect.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was really, really nice to talk to you guys. Great to see more Star Wars people that are, you know, in the Philly area.
Yeah, yeah. And we're close. Yes, absolutely. That's good. That's really cool too.
Maybe I'll run into you in Amalgam at some point. You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. That would be fun. Yeah.
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 Really nice to meet you. Thank you so much for being on the show. It was so much fun. I do apologize. My dorm, and you guys know, my dorm is right on Broad Street. So if you hear any street noises or people playing loud music, that was why.
That's Broad Street. No, Broad, yep, Street has not changed. Yeah.
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 So I guess we'll do some plugs things. So do you want to tell viewers where they can find your podcast and any of your social media?
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Radio Public, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a like on Facebook. And please check out our website, fathersandgalaxy.com.
Right, and our YouTube channel. We also have a YouTube channel.
Everybody gets to the YouTube channel.
Right off the top of your head. That's very impressive. I'll say Star Wars Geek Girl. You can find the Facebook page, Twitter, and Instagram at SW Geek Girl. And then I do articles and stuff on StarWarsGeekGirl.com. And you can email us podcast@StarWarsGeekGirl.net.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
See you. Yeah.
This is a lot of fun. Maybe we can do this again.
Absolutely. I would love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So much fun.
There's a lot of Star Wars to talk about. So, you know, we'll never run out of ideas to discuss topics.
If we ever do run out, there'll be more the next week. So,
So I'm looking forward to 2022. Oh, let me ask you, any chance you're going to a celebration next year?
I will be. Yes. If will you be going to Star Wars Celebration?
I don't know. You know,
yes, we will.
Well, hey, look, I honestly don't know, but it would be nice. But, you know, Keith wants to get there. So I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Well, hopefully I'll see you there.
Yeah. And you've been to Celebration before. Is that right?
Yes. I went to Orlando and Chicago.
Never been.
Exciting. Yeah, I know.
First Celebration. Super fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get there. We don't know.
If not Anaheim, you know, maybe they'll do a Celebration Philadelphia.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
I'd be first. Very nice.
Yeah, that would be cool.
We just go.
Yeah.
Speed down there.
We'll be right there. We'll just sit outside the convention center, you know, wherever it's going to be, and just put out our folding chairs and just be first in line. We'll just sit there for about a week before they let us in. Right?
Hopefully it won't be a winner.
Skittles.
We'll have plenty of Skittles. We'll have M&Ms. We'll have popcorn. You know, we'll have water. You know, so we'll have all the necessary survival.
I want cranberry juice.
Okay, cranberry juice. Okay. You know, we'll have all the necessary survival equipment.
Don't forget the Kit Kat.
Yeah, we'll have some chocolate. You know, absolutely. So 7 days, we'll be out there for a week. Yeah, we'll be first in line. So.
Yeah, well, we'll see about spending the weekend.
No, 7 days. 7 days, at least 7 days.
Maybe we gotta, 9.
Well, 9. Oh, we could do. You know, let's make it 10 days.
You know something. As long as I get to miss school, I'm good.
There you go. You know, we.
No.
You know, I don't have to go to work, you know, so, you know, 10 days, you know.
You could bring your laptop.
They're not. You're right. I can hook up my laptop, you know, wireless.
I can bring my iPad and my power cell.
And we'll sit down.
And then we can just work there.
Right. We'll sit down in our chairs, our folding chairs, and just work for the next 10 days until they let us in.
And then when the things die, we go into the convention center to charge your computer, and I'll be in the car charging my iPad.
But you know,
which is necessary.
Yeah, but somebody needs to keep our place in line, because if we leave, somebody's going to take our place. So you know, you'll go inside the convention center and you'll charge our stuff, and then you come right back out and sit right next to me.
And then we'll just wait.
Yeah,
sounds like a plan.
Yeah, we got a plan. We got a plan. We'll get there.
Well, it was so nice to meet you. So nice to talk to you. Thanks.
Same here, Zoe. Yes, take care. Thank you for having us on your show.
All right.
We'll see you. All right.
May the force be with you.
You too. Always.
Star Wars Geek Girls. They're geek girls that like Star Wars. And sometimes cry.